Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and for Dave Flyer. I love that song.
I do too. Well, that satisfies the listener who said, well, you haven't played any Rolling Stones. You know, they did a song the other night they've never done before.
That's true.
Yeah, we might have time to sneak that in too, so hang in there.
They performed live a song that they'd never performed in concert before. Mm-hmm. So, well, but car stuff is what we're all about right now. And for many, many years, we have been very proud to be members of an organization called the Midwest Automotive Media Association.
Mama.
Yeah. And it's a group of automotive journalists who do road testing of cars. And you can find some of our video road tests up on Consumer Guide Automotive's website. And joining us now is the man who is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive's website. And he was just at a very cool event. Every spring and every fall, Mama has what they call road rally events. What it amounts to is the manufacturers bring out the new goodies.
They really do. It's very impressive. And we were not able to attend this year, so selfishly, we want to find out what they saw. So Tom Appel joins us on the radio. How are you tonight, Tom?
Good, thank you.
Good. Nice to talk to you. So this was, the end of May, like May 24th, you guys were up at...
Road America.
Road America. Yeah, if you're going to do it right?
And that's a great track.
It is a great track, yeah, and it affords us the opportunity to track some of these vehicles. But the roads around Road America are great, too. They're hilly, they're curvy.
Yes.
And it's a great place to take cars out on the street and evaluate them there.
You're talking to two people who went out on the street one time and got ourselves lost.
Yeah.
And that's when I learned a lot of streets in Wisconsin have letters instead of names.
Yep.
Have you encountered that? Like A and D and...
The county roads are the confusing ones.
Yes.
I don't know how those work, and there are county roads everywhere. It's not like Illinois.
So what is it that you got to see? What did the manufacturers bring for the Midwest Automotive Media Association folks to see?
This was a wonderfully normal-feeling rally in the near aftermath of COVID, I guess. And, mm-hmm. and what we had was 70 vehicles.
Oh, my gosh.
And nearly 90 journalists. So we were all busy all the time. So there was all sorts of stuff to see. But the big news this year was how many electric vehicles we had.
Mm-hmm.
It happened sort of overnight, but now 10% of the vehicles up there were electric. There was a lot to drive that plugs in.
Hmm.
And 10%, that's a significant change.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is, yeah. We used to have one or two electric vehicles there, and it always felt like a token presence. And now, these are mainstream vehicles being launched right now that people can buy. And they're on the affordable side of the scale.
Well, speaking of that, you told us something during the week when we talked, and this is kind of a sort of a breaking news thing about an electric vehicle that is being reduced in price and is going to be much more affordable to a whole lot more people. You want to explain what that's all about?
Yeah, the Chevrolet Bolt EV.
That's Bolt, B as in boy. Yeah.
Yeah, has been secretly the best-selling electric vehicle in the United States that wasn't a Tesla for a number of years. They didn't sell a lot of them, but they were selling pretty well. And then Bolt got into trouble. Chevy got into a little trouble where they had some battery fires. I think the count was 18 total. So they recalled the vehicles and took them off the market just as things were getting interesting. And people were becoming more interested in electric vehicles, and as gas prices started to climb. Well, the vehicle is back. It's been mildly redesigned, much to the better, and it's got all new batteries. The old batteries have all been replaced, and the new vehicles don't have any batteries that relate to the ones that were involved in the fires. But the interesting thing was they had, for the introduction, they lowered the price, but they have further lowered the price. They announced that this week, and these vehicles are shockingly affordable. What do they start at? $26,000 for the EV and 20 8 for what they call the EUV, or electric utility vehicle.
Now, what kind of a range are we talking with these?
Depends on the one. I think it's 247 for the EUV and 255 for the little subcompact hatchback.
Miles,
yes.
I want to establish that for people going, what? How could that be? Because I was just at the gas pump today, and I paid $6.49 a gallon for premium.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was thinking, miles, 200-plus miles, that still looks pretty good. So are there going to be enough of them? I mean, if there becomes a frenzy and people want one of these vehicles, are we going to be able to get them?
This is what I think is happening. General Motors is entering the EV age in kind of a hurry. So they just introduced the Hummer. If people saw that, they brought back the Hummer name for a GMC product. But the big news is that this summer, the Cadillac Lyriq is going to be introduced.
That's a gorgeous vehicle.
Altium. I'm sorry, Steve?
That's a gorgeous vehicle.
It is absolutely gorgeous. I agree with you completely. That's coming out. They've announced a price for that, about $63,000 to start. But that's a beautiful car, and then they've got the Chevy Silverado EV coming later. And I think what Chevy and what General Motors want to do is, whether or not they lose money on it, they want to start selling in volume so they can start to claim a position in the EV market. So those three vehicles are going to be launched slowly. But I think the Bolts, they want to sell in volume just to get stuff out there.
Huh. And what is the timeline for GM going all electric vehicle?
That's interesting, because General Motors division Buick wants to be all electric by 2030. Cadillac has made a similar announcement. General Motors is a bigger corporation, which includes Chevy and GMC. That's going to be later, I think. And they're talking like 2035, I think, for that. There's a big couple of asterisks there. Their medium-duty trucks and their heavy-duty pickups probably aren't going to go electric anytime soon.
Now, as we talk about the technology, we also need to talk about the availability of the technology, because there have been supply chain problems for
chips,
just about every manufacturer for chips. But correct me if I'm wrong, but some of the manufacturers are saying, okay, the heck with that. We're going to build our own chips in this country and try and eliminate that problem. What's the latest on that?
I'm not aware of any manufacturer that has successfully created a new supplier yet for microchips. I think that in the future, they're not going to make this mistake again, to rely on too few suppliers. But right now, we're still, I think, in the throes of an extremely constrained market. And in fact, sales last month were down to an all-time low since the Great Recession. There was about 12 million. Cars are now selling at a 12 million annual pace, which is down from 18 million in a healthy year.
Ooh. And isn't that really for two reasons? One is, we said, the availability of some of the chips, but also some of the stuff that is stuck on offshore barges that can't get into the country.
That is a problem too, and that would be stuff that's imported. I think about half the vehicles that people buy here are imported, so some of them aren't affected, and I think that situation has improved somewhat. And it's interesting, too, that companies like Tesla never ran into the supply chain problem. They had secured a supplier for their microchips and didn't actually end up as dinged by this as anyone else.
We're talking with Tom Appel and talking about cars. Tom joined us for many years as we would talk about cars on our overnight show. Tom is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, and we'll come back and talk more about cars on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman, and for Dave Plyer at WGN Radio. Bit of musical minutia. One of the things I always loved about that Beatles record is there's a part of the song where they do harmony that basically is a replication of the Cadillac horn sound.
What?
Yeah. That part where it goes, you can do something. If you listen to the harmony there.
What? Who knows what the Cadillac horn sound is?
Oh, wait a minute. Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide,
please,
is with us. Tom, am I wrong? At one time, now it's not as distinctive now, but at one time, the Cadillac horn had a very distinctive sound. Am I right?
I feel bad because I don't know this.
Thank you.
What?
Oh, my God.
And you call yourself an automotive expert?
I did until very recently.
Pardon me, but the hell?
Seriously, what? Steve, because I remember the night that I learned about Harleys and how a Harley has its own sound.
Ben, can you dig up a, it would be like a 1950 or 60 tri-Cadillac DeVille horn sound. There, it must be out there.
I'm sorry. Shoot. I mock you. That's weird.
And then it'll be a long walk home for you tonight,
too.
Maybe
I'll find a Cadillac out there to take me home. And you relate that to what you hear in the Beatles song.
It's the harmony they use, because
you don't think they did that intentionally, do you? They smoked a little weed and said, let's go for
it. I think they did it intentionally.
Okay.
At one point, it was either... there were either four or eight different... like
iterations of it,
like horns or things that made a horn noise underneath the hood of the Cadillac. It was a very distinctive sound.
Oh, Tom, I'm so happy you're here.
And I want to say it was somewhere in the 70s to 80s that they kind of changed that. I guess it became too expensive for them to keep doing.
Yeah, like a vanity horn.
You don't know about this, Tom.
No, and it feels like something I should know, and I will be shamed at the office on Monday.
Oh, boy, as you should be.
Well, hey, this is something for you to write about. You can put this up on, do your research, and then, wink, wink, do your research, Tom. There's so much research to be done. But I'm still in awe of the fact that you would listen to the Beatles song.
If you listen to that
no,
one harmony.
No, I don't hear that. I do not hear,
No, it's...
Like I said, Tom, I'm so happy you're here and we're on the same side.
if it matters, I do think that's a great song.
It doesn't matter now.
It doesn't matter, Tom. You lost your chance.
Yeah.
Okay, well, while Ben is looking, I will ask you, when you were at the Mama Road Rally, whether it was battery-powered or whatever, were there any things that you just said, wow, that's cool, I want to drive that?
Yeah, I finally got into the Ford F-150 Lightning, and I was able to drive two versions of it. Unfortunately, they're more expensive than I think most people expected them to be as equipped. But the F-150 Lightning is Ford's all-electric pickup truck. They're the first to market with a full-size all-electric pickup, and it is so impressive. My initial drives were just, I haven't been this blown away by a vehicle in a very long time.
Well, do you sacrifice towing capability when you're going EV?
That's a good question. Not so much towing power, but range is reduced more by towing with an EV than fuel economy.
Oh, sure. Of course.
With a gasoline product.
Sure.
So that's a thing that hasn't been worked out yet. But this is a half-ton pickup. If you don't tow a lot or you don't tow far, that may not come into the math as you try to decide to drive this vehicle. But it is incredibly refined and incredibly quick. And if someone didn't tell you, you probably wouldn't know it was electric, except for how quiet it is.
Now, we interrupt this conversation for a demonstration, thanks to Ben, of what the Cadillac horn used to sound like. 1956 Cadillac. Hit it, Ben. See? It's multiple harmony.
I felt like I was going to hear the Beatles.
And it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I can tell you're whelmed.
I have the vaguest memory of multi-horn horns being more money at some point.
And the multi-horn horns, they later joined the Ides of March, I think.
That's right. We tie the whole thing together.
Okay, back to the Ford. Is this the Ford that also can power your house?
Yes, it can.
That is so cool.
Properly, but it can power your house for a couple of days. If your house
like a generator,
you have the option.
Really, I have to say the name is perfect. Lightning is a great name for it. Lightning in a bottle. While you were at the Mama Road Rally, as I understand it, with some 90 journalists there, didn't you get to choose, as you've done in past years, a family car of the year and luxury car of the year? And if so, what were they this year?
We are in the process of voting on those.
Oh, good.
So what happens at the Mama Rally, and I don't know the results, is that we pick a family car and a luxury family car, and then we will combine these votes with cars that we drive later in the year and announce them at the Chicago Auto Show.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, this goes back to our texters at 312-981-7200. This guy says, Tom often would talk about cars that were okay for him as a big and tall man. And apparently this guy's looking for a car that would accommodate him. What have you driven lately that you actually found comfortable?
This is interesting because I can take this back to the Bolt, which is incredibly roomy, and the new EUV, the crossover version. As you know, I'm a big guy, and I fit just fine in that. But increasingly, with every new generation of vehicle, manufacturers are making them just a little bit more roomy because all Americans are getting bigger.
Well, after the pandemic, yes. We're all like, where did that come from? Well, that's good news, though, because like this texter said, and I know many times when you were on the air with us, people would say, how did you get to work in that? And you would talk about some sports, a Miata that you were in. How did you do that, Tom? I can't get in and out of those.
So what else? Were there some other vehicles, too, that you thought were kind of cool for big and tall people?
Yeah, I was surprised by one vehicle, and it kind of got lost. The Toyota Corolla Cross is a new subcompact crossover from Toyota. They use the Corolla name, but it's sort of unrelated. This vehicle got lost because it was introduced early in the pandemic, and it was hard for them to market it, and they didn't get them out to journalists. But I finally spent some time with that vehicle. Not only is it roomy for its size, it's just a likable small car, and it's very affordable. It starts under $25,000. I fit in it just fine. It's reasonably quick. It's very nicely finished in size. And it's the kind of car that just isn't making news now because it's not electric, and there's just bigger news.
Interesting.
And anything else that you came away from the rally saying, that's newsworthy, I want to share the wealth with people?
Yeah, the Kia EV6, that's their new electric vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
That's spectacularly good. It's also gorgeous. It's mechanically similar to the Hyundai Ioniq 5. Hyundai is the parent company of both Hyundai and Kia.
Mm-hmm.
It is a wonderful car. It is wonderful looking. It's a little bit expensive with all-wheel drive and top trim level, about $60,000, but it is very impressive.
Well, Tom, as we let you drive off into your weekend, anything you want to put out a blatant plug for Consumer Guide?
Oh, our podcast, the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast. People might know the people that introduce us on the show. That is available now. We just did a show with the folks from Electrify America, speaking of electric cars.
Oh, good. Great. I hope you can be down here in the next 45 minutes because I will need to ride home. Can you swing that?
I have to find a car with a horn. But yeah.
Tom, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Take care, guys.
You too.
Thanks a lot, Tom. And you should check out dailydrive.com for Consumer Guide's Daily Drive. More coming up at WGN. Stay with us.